I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
San Junipero Serra, pray for us. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us. St. Joseph Terror Demons, pray for us. I'm reporting for duty. I'm 10-8. Terry, what about you?
Jesse, I am reporting for duty. We're two evangelical Catholics with PhDs and common sense, and common sense is not that common. And I'll show, Jesse, our listeners, how common sense isn't being used, especially on today's topic regarding the COVID-19. Will the real facts of COVID-19 come out? And we've got some doctors that are going to blow you away. Also, we're going to talk about the coronavirus, how it's spiking, yes, nationally. And Black Lives Matter is planning more rallies. So that's kind of interesting. Also, the seven sorrows of Mary, the promises to those who meditate upon them daily. And Jesse, Bishop Sheen has a special saint alongside his train with him. And we're going to talk about who Junipero Serra is. And I think we're going to set the record straight about him today. So we've got a full show ahead of us. But before we do that, Jess, it's soul food, brother. Let's get that gospel out.
Soul food, Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 to 34. Mm-hmm. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening.
Amen.
Here it is. When Jesus came to the territory of the Gadarenes, two demoniacs who were coming from the tombs met him. They were so savage that no one could travel by that road. They cried out, "What have you to do with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the appointed time?" When's the appointed time? Second coming of Christ, according to Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, when Christ is going to seal the devil and all the demons in hell, seal them, lock them up forever, and torment them day and night. So that's the appointed time. It's still the second coming of Christ. It says, some distance away, a herd of many swine was feeding. By the way, Mark's account says that it was 2,000 pigs. Mm-hmm. Mark chapter 5, verse 13. So Matthew's account that we're reading today, it says many. Mark says it was 2,000 pigs. Okay? So that it goes to show you that there was a strong presence of demons if the demons went into every pig. It says the demons pleaded with him, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of swine." And he said to them, "Go then." They came out and entered the swine, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, where they were drowned. Here's something very interesting. Demons are called unclean spirits in the Bible 21 times, in the New Testament, 21 times. So these two possessed guys are unclean. They're in a state of sin. Because that's how demons attach themselves or torment you. They come in through sin, and they remain through heresy. And also, demons, they prey on people that don't know their faith. Those are easy prey. People that are not catechized, that don't know the meaning and purpose of life. And so these demons that are called unclean spirits in the New Testament, they look for unclean things. So once Christ ordered them to leave the man, they asked Jesus, "Well, can we go into these pigs?" Why do they want to go into pigs? Because, again, demons are unclean spirits that like to attach themselves to unclean things. But what's the goal of a demon? What do the demons want to do with these two possessed guys? They want to kill them. That's what the word devil means, the destroyer. And what do we see here? What did the demons do to the 2,000 pigs? Destroyed them by having them go over the cliff and drowning. That's the end game of a demon, of demonic possession, is to get the person to commit suicide. And it ends, it says, the swineherds ran away when they came to the town. They reported everything, including what had happened to the demoniacs. Thereupon the whole town came to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to leave their district. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
All I could say is our Lord says in other places, a prophet is not welcome in his own home. This is Jesus Christ is performing miracles in these 10 cities called the Decapolis. And they see the power of Jesus Christ over the diabolical. I mean, the Jews, they believed in exorcism. They had the ministry of exorcism, and what they would do is the rabbis would get the possessed person, put him in the middle, and they would walk around him like in a circle, and they would start praying and singing the Psalms, especially Psalm 91. So the Jews knew about the ministry of exorcism, but here Jesus doesn't have to go through any ritual or any, you know, walk around the person, you know, 100 times and say Psalm 91. Jesus just commands immediately. He demonstrates his power. And yet, again, a prophet's not welcome in his own town. They still remain in their unbelief. They say, you know what? We saw what you did. We still want you to get out of here. Get out of here right now. Terry?
Jesse, my only thought is when I read that gospel, I think of a friend of ours. You knew her, Betty Brennan. She was a witch.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, and what connection I made was she said she had gave a talk at the family conference called Return to the Sacraments. And she basically said what you just said, and what Father Ripperger said, people are opening themselves up to demonic influences when they're not living in the state of grace, when they're not frequenting the sacraments. She said something very interesting also, that as a witch, as devil worshipers, they know the difference between a consecrated host and an unconsecrated host. And I thought, wow, they were in tune to the spirituality, and they know when someone's not living in the state of grace, and they attack. So the Satan is alive and well, especially today when we have so many Catholics not living a sacramental life. That's what I wanted to bring up, Jess.
Terry, you know, not only Betty Brennan, but that was the name of the talk, right? Return to the Sacraments, correct? Also, Deborah Lipsky mentioned the same thing in her talk. I know you have her recorded
as well.
That's right, I do. She said that her healing came about when she came back to the sacrament. So we have one Satanist that we know and another former witch that's passed away that are now that were now hard charging Catholics.
Yes.
And it was the return to the sacraments that brought their full healing. In other words, return to the sacraments is returning to Jesus, because Jesus Christ, the economy of grace from the Lord Jesus Christ's cross on Calvary, flows through the sacraments.
Amen. Jesse, I want to bring Bishop Sheen in right now. Full Sheen ahead. He's got a visitor with him. Onipero Serra, who's the feast day, is today. And for those who don't know about him, we've had a lot of ink has been spilled about his statues being torn down in California. He was the priest who really opened up the West Coast to Christianity, Franciscan. At age 37, he went to Mexico City, and then he spent the rest of his life working for the conversion of the New World, which we're in right now. He was responsible for the spread of the church on the west coast of the United States, founded 9 missions. He converted thousands of souls, and then his brother, Franciscans, founded the other 21 missions. But here's the interesting thing I want to share with people. This man saw injustice going on. Well, the Black Lives Matters, they say there's an injustice going on. All these people are saying, knock a statue down. Okay, they're knocking down a statue of a man who walked from Southern California to Mexico City with a bad leg, thousands of miles, to report the injustices that were going on with the military that were putting to the Indians, and he didn't like it. So what did he do? Get on the phone. No, he walked thousands of miles, and Spain was in charge of all of Mexico, part of California at that time, and the government said, okay, you're right, and they reprimanded the military to stop abusing the Indians. That's the guy's statue you want down. You know what, Jesse? Those guys at Black Matters Matter and all these people who are protesting statues, they need to update their card files, because when they walk from Southern California to Mexico, that's when I want to talk to them. I don't even want to hear from them, because they don't know the facts.
That's right, and they don't want to be confused by the facts, Terry. That's what's sad. They don't want to be confused by the facts. Another thing I can say about Junipero Serra, he was born in Majorca.
That's right.
Majorca's Junipero Serra joined the Franciscans in 1730.
Yep.
He was a gifted teacher. He left this country of Spain for the Mexican missions in 1749. He was appointed the superior of a group of Franciscans assigned to California. Despite a painful leg injury, he preached Christ to the natives up and down the coast, founding the first 9 California missions. And when the Spanish military presence threatened the economic independence of the missions, he returned to Mexico City to plead for the rights of the native.
There you go.
His personal motto was, quote, always forward, never back. Junipero died at the Mission Carmel in 1784 and was canonized September 23rd, 2015. Saint Junipero Serra did not set out to become a missionary. He heard God's call through the ordinary words of his brothers and sisters, and he answered it willingly. His tireless labor for the salvation of the indigenous Indians and the needs of the people entrusted to his care earned him the nickname Apostle of California. I want to pray to him, Terry.
Absolutely.
Oh God, who by your ineffable mercy have been pleased through the labors of your priest, Saint Junipero Serra, to count many American peoples within your church, grant by his intercession that we may so join our hearts to you in love, so as to carry always and everywhere before all people the image of your only begotten Son, who lives and reigns in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. St. Junipero Serra,
pray for us. Jesse, when he died, the very day that he died, his last prayer was singing the Salve Regina. And here's the kicker about it. His voice was so loud, everybody at his deathbed said, what? Yeah, he prayed it like everybody in the whole area could hear him singing and praying the Salve Regina. And after that, he expired.
Wow.
Junipero Serra, pray for us. Jesse, he inspires me, and I'm just a little upset that these people are so misinformed about him. And I don't know, maybe I'll set up a statue in my yard of Junipero Serra. Because you know what, Jess? I'll protect that thing because it's the right thing to do.
It's right within your property.
You got it, Jess. Hey,
Terry, this is communism, Terry. Communism
Absolutely. Wants
to erase any vestige of Christianity and Western civilization, and that's how they make their mark. And we're looking at the infiltration of communism through the Democrat Party in America right now.
Jesse, when we come back, we've got two on-fire doctors who are getting the facts on COVID-19. I thought if anybody could listen to this, these two doctors, you'll know that we've been duped. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We'll be back with more after a quick break. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Terry, we've got two more doctors who are now talking about how hydroxychloroquine has been politicized.
That's right.
We want you to hear a three-minute clip, then we're going to discuss it. Two more doctors are speaking out. Go ahead, Mr. Engineer.
Hi there. Yes, my name is Dan Wogelernter. I'm a cardiologist trained at Yale University School of Medicine in New Haven, Connecticut. And I've been a cardiologist here in Santa Monica, California for the last 30 years.
Hi, good morning. I'm Dr. Simone Gold. I'm a board-certified emergency physician. I'm also an attorney. Please don't hold that against me. Mm-hmm. And I practice on the front lines, whether or not there's a pandemic.
Dr. Dan, why have you decided to speak out?
Well, I've decided to speak out because I think that we're dealing with a tragic situation where the scientific process has been violated. Studies have been published that had not been adequately vetted and should not have been published. And those studies were used to terminate further evaluations of hydroxychloroquine. I've decided to speak out because the political interference in the physician decision-making process is objectionable and should not be allowed to continue. There are lessons to be learned from this pandemic on many levels. We've spoken about the dangers and the irrationality of the lockdown process. We've spoken about the violation of the scientific purity of investigation. We've spoken about media presentations and misrepresentations of data. This is injurious to the health of our population now. And I don't want to see this replicated in the future. I think as physicians, we have a moral responsibility to protect our patients, to protect the science behind our medical decisions, and to prevent intrusions into the purity of the scientific process by outside forces that may have bad intent. And it's important to speak out. It's a moral imperative for us to speak out and to protect our patients and to protect our profession.
Dr. Gold, why did you decide to speak out?
So I decided to speak out for one very specific reason. That was I was actually presented with a definite COVID-positive patient, and I prescribed hydroxychloroquine and zinc because I was very up on the literature on this, and I got severely reprimanded for it. And I also had received a letter from the state board threatening all doctors, I was just one, with potential investigation into me for unprofessional conduct if I was to prescribe hydroxychloroquine. This was so shocking to me. It had never happened where the government told a physician if they had a right or not a right to prescribe an FDA-approved medication. I mean, that was just a sui generis event that took me by surprise. And I thought to myself, if doctors don't speak up, we're really all lost.
Let me add one other thing, if I might.
Yep.
So I think it's important in terms of people's perspective about the impact of COVID that they understand that the data now show that 99.7% of people infected with COVID will survive.
Wow.
Terry, these doctors are being threatened by putting out the truth by those in governmental authority. But these aren't the only doctors. You know what happened is once one doctor started speaking out, and first ones that broke, there was two doctors, and I think they were in Bakersfield.
Central California, you got it.
Yeah, they were the first ones that started speaking out. And what happened is I think they gave the other doctors courage, and they said, you know what, the emperor has no clothes.
Exactly.
The other doctors knew that as well, but they didn't want to say anything. I got one video of Dr. Yvette Lozano.
Oh, yeah.
He says the government has been playing us for fools with the COVID pandemic. Two Orange County doctors break their silence on COVID-19.
Yep.
Here's another one. Dr. Cottrell on COVID-19, the way the scientists have been lying to us. Another doctor, Dr. Chris Martenzo. Our scientists are lying to us. Dr. Tenpenny. This is the biggest scam ever perpetuated on the human race. And now these two doctors here. That are talking about how hydroxychloroquine has been politicized. You have Dr. Bruchard as well. I thank God, Terry, that they're putting their license on the line.
Yes.
They're speaking out against the establishment medical mafia. Let's just be honest. Follow the money.
Yeah.
Who gives them a lot of money? George Soros and Bill Gates. So when you get a lot of money from these private donors, you're going to say, the CDC and the WHO is going to say whatever they tell you to say. But these independent doctors, I say, no, let's not politicize it. These are the bare bones facts.
And I would encourage our listeners to listen to the entire interview. It's very revealing. Bottom line, false studies. These doctors are being persecuted for bringing out the facts. Jesse, when they say outside forces, and they also use this, they said that politics kills patients. And what do they mean by that? Jesse, no, really. The politics will say, we have to go indoors. Look at all of the, what I call, collateral damage COVID-19 has brought on, not just to the United States, but to the world when they stop people from going to work. Look at how many people are starving because of that. Look at how many people have committed suicide because they said, COVID-19, I can't handle it. The pressure's too great for me. So this is why we come out, Jess, and say the emperor has no clothes on. And I really mean this. I feel bad that people are dying. People die from the flu. Many people, the statistics have come out that a large percentage of the people are dying are in rest homes. Okay, so why can't we protect our elderly, okay? And it doesn't affect young people hardly at all. And if they do get it, are you ready? If you're under age 70, very, very, a small amount of people are going to die from it. But Jess, it seems that we're over-exaggerating the effect of this COVID-19 to a point where we're closing shop. And what I'm going to say, outside forces, and you correct me, Jess, if I'm wrong on this, I think the outside forces are really, it all goes back against the president of the United States, Donald Trump, because a lot of people are upset that he got in 2016, and they said, and I'm just going to say it, we'll do whatever it takes to make sure he's not reelected, even to the effect of having thousands and thousands and even millions of people being affected by this COVID-19 situation, because we want to make sure the country is devastated by it. And so they're not going to want to put President Trump back in. Am I on to something, Jess?
I'll make it more specific. The liberal progressives, Marxists that run this, the Democrat Party,
sure,
in line with the communist and the globalist,
yeah,
their biggest tool to worship Satan with is the killing of babies to the tunes of thousands every day.
That's right.
They're saying this president, if he wins another 4 years, he could change the face of the Supreme Court and give us real conservatives, not like John Roberts, a phony. He's a fake conservative. And they could end up removing Roe versus Wade.
Absolutely.
That's our sacrament to Satan. That's our worship to Satan.
Yep.
Trump may take this away. Oh, heck no. They're throwing everything at him but the kitchen sink, anything to save Roe versus Wade. So the liturgy of Satan can continue, which is the human sacrifice of babies.
And Jesse, just to prove your point, ever since President Trump won the election in November, then, almost four years ago, there's been a constant effort to try and get him impeached, trying to get all kinds of ways. Ever since that time he became the president, even before, they couldn't deal with it. So I think there's enough evidence to show what you're saying is absolutely true. So what can we do as committed Christians and Catholics? Well, obviously we can pray for their conversion, number one. Number two, we can vote with a Catholic Christian moral conscience so that we will make sure that whoever's in the White House is not a baby killer. Okay, that's what I just called them. They're baby killers. They're sacrificing babies to Satan. I mean, I'm just going to say, maybe they don't know it. Actually, many of them don't know that, but that's in the effect of what's happening. And so we can stop that by our actions, by our prayers. So let's have a 1-2 punch. Your actions, live in the sacramental state of grace. And number two, vote pro-life. Are you kidding me? Anybody who votes on the other side objectively is committing a serious, we call it mortal sin, because you're participating in the killing of unborn babies. Whether you like it or not, that's the facts, Jess.
Yep, and Terry, somebody who listens to our show sent me a little a text.
Yeah.
They said, I made an appointment at CVS in La Habra on June 15th at 9:30 to get tested for COVID-19. I had no symptoms and was just curious, so I ended up never going to the appointment. I got a call a few days later from CVS stating my name, saying my results were ready. Today, I received a letter in the mail with my lab results saying I tested positive for COVID-19. This leads me to believe that CVS is taking advantage of people who are going in to be tested, forging fake lab results.
They get money for it.
And marking people as being positive when they're not. Are they doing this because of the free money the government gives them for every test that is done? These results are now marked under my name, and I bet I'm not the only one. There are probably so many other people this has been happening to that don't even know about it.
Wow, good job. Jesse, there's the facts are, that's why they want tracking. Let's say you know somebody, Jesse, who has COVID-19. They now are going to include all your associates as being potentially COVID-19. And guess what? That's lumped in. Why do you think the numbers are up so high? I just have to say this, Jess. I'm tired of manipulation with the politics with COVID-19. When we really get the facts out, people are going to realize this has been the biggest scam in our lifetime. And when we go back there, everybody's going to say, I can't believe I was just doing what I was told to do.
Yeah, Terry, and I'll tell you what this is setting everything up for.
Tell me.
They're going to keep playing with the numbers.
Yeah.
And then the government is, you know, the medical mafia that runs the country right now. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
The medical mafia with PhDs that are in the pockets of Soros and Gates, they're going to say, well, we need a universal vaccine because this is way out of control.
Yep.
Now, this universal vaccine is going to contain, trust me, it's going to contain, stem cells from fetuses.
From aborted
fetuses.
Yep.
And number two, they're going to start a tracking system. They're going to say, well, you know what? We want to make sure that we track everybody on Earth because we want to protect you.
Yeah, that's
so we're going to put through your phone, we're going to track all the people that have COVID-19, all your associates, because we just want to keep everybody safe. They're going to try to track us, Terry, like little, you know, like little, like little guppy fish in a bowl.
That's right.
And they're going to try this universal vaccination.
You got it.
We are moving into the times that St. Paul calls the son of perdition, the man of lawlessness.
You got it. Jesse, I want to remind everybody, Bishop Joseph Strickland's premiere show, July 7th. That's next Tuesday on the Virgin Most Powerful Radio. You'll want to get to him every single week on Virgin Most Powerful. We'll come back after a quick break to help you fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need covenant eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to covenanteyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.covenanteyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Healthcare news today seems to be coming from everywhere and everyone. It's confusing, at least, and untrustworthy at the worst. Dr. Aceta is a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community. He is trustworthy, well-researched, and will only give expert opinion on matters in his own specialty. Catholic teaching at its entirety is of utmost importance to Dr. Aceta. Give Dr. Aceta a call for your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-695-6617.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
As coronavirus cases spike nationally, Black Lives Matter plans more rallies and marches, and some public officials have halted reopening their states as cases have gone up. First of all, it's got to be said that Black Lives Matter is an anti-Catholic anarchist group, and the Catholic Church, we better know that. Also, the Black Lives Matter founder is a Soros Institute expert. He's called for opposing capitalism, while his colleagues, the other two founders, they admit that we are trained Marxists. Did you hear that? So
because they need to hear that. Trained Marxists.
Trained Marxists. Terry, there's a sleight of hand here. This is Satan at work. Just like Planned Parenthood, they use a real soft title, Planned Parenthood. What do they actually do? Kill babies. But the title would throw you off. If you could assign and you know nothing about this, Planned Parenthood. Oh, seems like they want to help young couples. Wow, or they want to help people that go to church. No, because they hide what they really do. Well, the same thing with Black Matters. Black Lives Matter is also deceiving. It's a bogus name, Terry. It's just a cover up for another Marxist organization that used their violent ways, but they put the name Black up there because now you can't criticize us because we got the word Black up there.
Yeah.
And if you criticize them, they'll start screaming at you, you're a racist. So see how smart the communist Marxists, Terry, were?
Yeah.
They took the name Black in their Marxist communist organization to try to destroy this country, destroy Western civilization, Christianity, and capitalism. But they use the word Black. That way, if you try to criticize them, they play the race card right away. Terry, this is diabolical, but it's masterful what they've done.
But Jesse, this goes all the way back to the 1921 paper that demonstrates what the communists wanted to do to overthrow America is get the race riots going. So this is not the first time they've tried this. And I think that people need to know that this is really being done methodically. Think about this, Jess. Not only was this done in California and across the country, it went across the pond to Europe. It went to Australia. All these things are going on. This is very organized, and we need to wake up and smell the coffee.
There's a good small vortex if you want to take a look at it.
Yeah.
It's the vortex. Black Lives Matter is anti-Catholic. It's a 7-minute video. Very well done. It's a special report. Mm-hmm. And Terry, the fact is that this is Black Lives Matter. It's a Marxist group.
Mm-hmm.
It's funded by George Soros. And they're promoting abortion and homosexuality. And so the church has already spoken out against these three evils. The church has papal teaching, magisterial teaching, speaking out against Marxism, speaking out against abortion and homosexuality. Yet all these three ideologies are precisely what Black Lives Matter is promoting when you look at their website. And they have endless money by George Soros. And what's sad, Terry, is that I've seen some bishops around the country mm-hmm. that have actually capitulated
yes, they have.
To this Marxist organization. It breaks my heart because the fact is the true agenda of Black Lives Matter is communism. And it's disturbing to me, Terry, that there's some Catholic clergy that are trying to find common cause with this movement. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Jesse, all I can say is these are the facts on Black Lives Matter. Think about why homosexuality and race card go together. Think about it, because you see what they say is we're being unjustly treated because we're homosexual. Nobody wants to listen to us. Nobody. We're being ostracized by the culture. So let's band together and make it so that we can try and get our rights back. And you know what, Jesse? I'm going to say something that probably not.
They've never lost their rights, by the way.
No, exactly. But I'm going to say something about sin. Okay, serious sin. An error has no rights. And what I mean by that, the individual, Jess, has a right. But objectively, when you have mortal sin, we can't give mortal sin any rights. We have to call it for what it is. And the most merciless thing we can do is let someone wallow in their sin. And if you're a bishop or a priest and say, oh, well, it's okay, God understands. No, Father, no, Bishop. God understands everything, but he also wants us to live according to his Ten Commandments, and that's where happiness lies. So when you compromise on any of these commandments, you're committing sin. That's as simple as I can say it.
Terry, so this article says that through coronavirus cases, though they're surging in some parts of the U.S.,
yes.
And again, that's debatable.
Well, that's because the numbers are being padded. We already demonstrate that.
It says many Black Lives Matter activists are nonetheless planning sizable rallies in the near future, especially the 4th of July.
Right.
Defying public health concerns in favor of continuing what has become a month-long streak, of aggressive, violent public activism. The surge in coronavirus cases in some parts of the country, notice the way they're picking on red states, mm-hmm. Texas, Arizona, Florida, has brought with it renewed fears that any form of reopening states after months of lockdown will bring a new wave of COVID-19 infections. It says, in spite of those mounting concerns, multiple chapters of Black Lives Matters across the country are still planning rallies and marches, even as officials urge residents to refrain from gathering in large groups. So in other words, Terry, these lockdowns apply to Joe Q citizen, that tries to obey the law and follow the Constitution. But if you're a thug, Terry, if you're an anarchist, the law doesn't apply to you. Nothing happens. It says one chapter, Black Lives Matter Michigan, is hosting a protest and rally at the Michigan State Capitol in Lansing on Monday. That event promises community visioning, education, and mobilization to defend Black lives. It's again, that's another false statement, because this country, of course, we defend Black lives. Of course, the Constitution
all lives.
Does. Yeah. Its Facebook page shows nearly 600 confirmed attendees and 2,800 interested in attending. And so the article talks about other places, Chicago chapter. I mean, all these rallies, Philadelphia, they're being planned. And Terry, I'll tell you what makes it more dangerous. I was involved in the Rodney King riots back in the early 90s.
Right. Yep.
And now they were violent, but they were only violent for about a week. And I'll tell you, well, maybe even less, maybe like 4 or 5 days. I'll tell you why we got a handle of them, because they had no communication.
Right.
That was the day when people only had pagers, you know. There was no communication mechanism. So the anarchists back then, they couldn't communicate with one another. So we were able to tamper down on the riots pretty fast. I'd say within about 3 to 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
I think about 2 days it was really bad. But now, because of social media,
right?
And Terry, this is where these people that run social media, this is who they should censor. Instead of censoring a sitting president from making statements on social media, which they're doing, by the way, they're saying, no, that's mean what he said. That's not allowed in our platform. Can you imagine, Terry, mm-hmm. censoring the president of the United States? But they have no problem allowing Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and other anarchists using their social media platforms to get their message across and to gin up the masses.
Well, Jesse, to show the hypocrisy here, in Boston, the Nubia Square, they're going to have a celebration in common where not only they're going to share their music and their agenda, but food and have arts and all that out. Can you imagine? Here we are as Catholics. We can't even have coffee out after Mass because it violates the policies of the country. But if you're Black Matters, go ahead and have hot dogs and burgers and food. No problem. Do you think there's a problem here? I think so, Jess.
It's a double standard.
It's a double standard, of course. And here's the bottom line for me. For me, I'm tired of being hoodwinked by this. Let's just call it for what it is. And when people realize that their rights are going to be taken away, that this is really nothing more than trying to take over a country in America to change the way we have our rights and to live under communism. Let's just be honest. Socialism, yep. Communism are the same, really. They're
yes.
two of the
yep.
same. So this is where it's going, and we need to wake up America for this. That's my take.
Yeah, the article ends by saying, again, it talks about all these places that they're planning to rally in.
Right, New York, everywhere. Yep.
Yeah, Boston.
Minneapolis.
It says, the rallies, protests, and marches that have rolled throughout the country over the past several weeks broke a months-long moratorium on large public gatherings throughout the U.S. Sporting events, concerts, symposiums, conferences, and other densely packed affairs were canceled from mid-March onwards, while restaurants and other popular gathering spots are largely shuttered. Federal, state, and local politicians from the start of the outbreak aggressively promoted social distancing measures, urging and often mandating that citizens avoid each other, shelter in place, and refrain from getting together outside of household family units. Following the emergence of the protests after the police-involved death of Minneapolis resident George Floyd, however, political leaders rapidly shifted their rhetoric, coming out in tacit and sometimes outward support of the huge, densely crowded demonstrations of Black Lives Matter and Antifa that spread throughout the U.S. So the article is saying what applies to Christians, people of faith, people of goodwill, decent people, doesn't apply to anarchists. The article ends, that apparent double standard was checked this week in a New York federal court when a judge declared that Governor Andrew Cuomo and New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio had unfairly discriminated against religious worshipers while giving preferential government sanction to protesters. Hear, hear. That's exactly what we've been saying.
And, Jesse, that was a priest and a rabbi, a couple of rabbis who did that case. So God bless. I'll call that ecumenism at its best.
Yeah. Hey, that's good ecumenism.
That's right, right brother. Hey, yeah. Jess, just to remind our people, on social media, I don't do it enough, Jess, telling people, what do you want to tell people about social media, Jess? Go ahead.
If you like what you hear, okay, then like us.
Exactly.
And hit the subscribe button and share this show with others. Again, I know you like this information. You know that it needs to get out. So go ahead and like us and hit the subscribe button so that you're notified every time the show is going to start. You're notified by that little bell. And then share this show with other people. You know, there's a lot of people out there that, let's just be honest, they're low-information Catholics in our family, in our extended family, and they need this information. Terry?
One more quick note. Go to couponbird.com and search Catholic Resource Center and press join now. That will support our mission. Every time you purchase something, you get a discount. Go to our website, Virgin Most Powerful Radio, to get all the good news. We'll be right back with much more.
Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Your tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Are you familiar with the devotion of Our Lady of Sorrows? If you're not, this is a wonderful Catholic devotion to meditate upon daily.
That's right.
The seven sorrows of Mary and the promises to those who meditate upon them daily. The church celebrates the feast on September 15th, following the feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. But Mary presented several promises to St. Bridget of Sweden and to those who devote themselves to the seven sorrows of her heart. But first, let's look at her heart's sorrows according to the tradition of the church. Mary's seven sorrows are as presented in Scripture. Number one, the prophecy of Simeon in Luke chapter 2. Number two, the flight into Egypt, Matthew chapter 2.
Yep.
Three, the loss of Jesus for 3 days, Luke chapter 2. Number four, the carrying of the cross, John chapter 19. Number five, the crucifixion of Jesus, John chapter 19. Number six, Jesus taken down from the cross, John chapter 19. And Jesus laid in the tomb, John chapter 19. This is actually called the Dolorosary. So if you've ever heard that term,
yep,
not rosary, it's called Dolorosary. So when another Catholic says, hey, do you pray the Dolorosary? They're talking about the seven sorrows as presented in Scripture. And it's prayed in a rosary. It's got its own rosary.
I've got one.
Yeah, it's got its own rosary.
It's
a beautiful meditation, yeah, because I'll just tell you one thing. All the saints, St. Alphonsus of Liguori,
that's
and
right,
all the saints tell you that meditating on the passion of Jesus Christ is the fastest way to become a saint.
And if I can remind everybody, St. Alphonsus Liguori, a doctor of the church, wrote The Glories of Mary, and that Jesus has four promises for those who devote themselves to Mary's seven sorrows. Very powerful promises, similar to the Sacred Heart. I mean, sign me up. Number one, Jesse, that those who invoke the Divine Mother by her sorrows before death will merit to obtain true repentance of all their sins. Jesse, that's powerful. Number two, Jess, what is it?
That he will protect such in their tribulations, especially at the hour of death. Let me break that down.
Yeah.
The Council of Trent and also angelologists, like people at Opus Angelorum, they write that the demons attack the person more acutely when they're dying. Days, hours, and minutes before they're dying, there's more of an acute attack of the diabolical because they know that their time is short with that soul. But look at that second promise that I just read, that if those that are devoted to Our Lady of Sorrows and pray this, that through her intercession, the Lord is going to protect us through these tribulations as we're dying, this mental anguish, this physical mental torture, especially at the hour of death. What does she mean? That Mary is going to come by your bedside with legions of angels and drive out the demons.
Jesse,
I don't know about you, but you could sign me up for that one.
Absolutely, bro. And that just makes sense. Think about at the end of your death, the Satan is going to tempt you. I've read the saints say over and over again that that is true. Jesse, here's one about a reward for heaven. We always talk about life is short, eternity is forever. The third promise that he will impress upon them the memory of his passion and that they shall have their reward for it in heaven. See, without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday. That's why, Jesse, as Catholics, we constantly look doing the Stations of the Cross, the Sorrowful Mysteries of the Rosary. Why? That's the price of sin. And so the promise is telling you that they'll have a reward for you in heaven. Without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday.
Number four, that he, that means the Lord, will commit such devout servants to the hands of Mary, that she may dispose of them according to her pleasure and obtain for them all the graces she desires. This is why the church's tradition calls Mary mediatrix of all graces, because St. Louis de Montfort says, Jesus is the head, Mary is the neck, exactly. We are the body. So all the graces from Jesus Christ, the head, flow through the neck, which is Our Lady, to the body, which is us, the baptized. Terry?
Well said. And think about, how did Jesus come to us? Through Mary. Okay. Now, this one, I got excited. When I was a teenager in high school, I found out about St. Bridget of Sweden, Jess. And this is what the Virgin Mary also presented her own promises to St. Bridget of Sweden for those who devote themselves to her sorrowful heart. Mary asked that the devotee pray one Hail Mary in honor of each of her sorrows. Wow, Jesse, Mary's seven promises. Number one, I will grant peace to their families, similar to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Who wants peace in their families? We all want it. Number two, Jess.
They will be enlightened about the divine mysteries.
Wow.
In other words, you won't be a low-information Catholic.
Oh, my gosh.
If you practice this devotion.
Right.
Because remember, being a low-information Catholic is what attracts demons. They're attracted to people that have no knowledge of the faith.
Another one, number three, I will console them in their pains and I will accompany them in their work. Accompany them in their pains. In other words, have that vision of uniting your sufferings with the sufferings of Christ. Our Lady, the Blessed Mother, will be there. And I'll tell you what, wasted pain is going on all over the country. But if you know your faith well, that's not the case. And the other one that's really a now beautiful one, I will accompany them in their work, living in the presence of God. Our Lady is with you. Your guardian angel is with you. You've got to keep that mindset or you won't survive. Number four, Jess.
I will give them as much as they ask for as long as it does not oppose the adorable will of my divine Son or the sanctification of their souls. Wow.
Yeah, Jesse, I always use that one and say, if it be God's will, please give me this. Always. I never ask, Lord, I want my new car. No, I want this. I want that. No, only if it be according to your holy will. Number five, because we're running out of time. Here it comes. I will defend them in their spiritual battles with the infernal enemy, and I will protect them at every instant of their life. Jesse, sign me up. I want help fighting the devil. Yeah.
And here's number six, same thing.
Yeah.
I will visibly help them at the moment of their death.
Sign me up.
I mean, this is when the devil and demons are attacking you the most.
Yep.
It says they will see the face of their mother. In other words, as you're dying and being attacked by demons, you're going to see the face of Mary. Guess what? Every exorcist says when Mary becomes present in a room, the demons flee. She doesn't even have to say nothing because exorcists say that Mary has what's called coercive power. It's like intrinsic to her nature. It was given to her by God. You know, that's why she's called full of grace. In Genesis 3:15, she's the woman, the mother of the Messiah, that has power and authority over the devil. And so exorcists say that she has coercive power. She just becomes present to a person, becomes present, and the demons have to leave.
And you know where she gets all these graces from? Our Lord, she says it. Number seven, yeah. I have obtained these graces from my divine Son, that those who propagate this devotion to my tears and sorrows will be taken directly from this earthly life to eternal happiness, since all their sins will be forgiven and my Son will be their eternal consolation and joy. Jesse, she's saying that we pass purgatory, buddy.
That's right.
Wow.
Terry, there's a case that I worked on last year.
Yeah.
A person, won't mention any names, a person that had cancer pretty young, was dying, came into the church, and had a good had an authentic conversion to the to Christ and the church, and he'd been properly catechized.
Good.
About Marian devotion. He was dying of cancer, and his family told me this. His family called me up, but I didn't get there in time. His family said that when he was dying, he was screaming. He was telling his wife and his kids, look, he's there. Look at that monster, that creature, it's right there. No, it's over there. So he's like pointing all over the house, and he's pointing that demons are there tormenting him.
Wow.
And he's over there, honey. No, he's over there. No, no, he's over there. He moved. He's up on the roof now. He's on the bedstand. He's on the nightstand. And she said that he went through this torment for about 10 minutes. The wife and the daughter, they said, let's just start praying the rosary. You know, we've heard, you know, we've heard from the RCIA program, you know, and by the way, I teach at that RCIA program. We've heard that the demons flee the presence of Our Lady, authentic Marian devotion. She has coercive power. They started praying the rosary, and the guy with cancer, he himself started, they said, don't focus on these creatures. Start praying with us. He said they went away after about the first decade. Completely, the house was completely gone. He went to sleep, held the crucifix, and died that evening in his sleep in total peace after praying the rosary.
That is so awesome. Jesse, the book, The Glories of Mary by St. Alphonsus Liguori, remember, he's a doctor of the church, includes meditations for each one of Mary's seven sorrows. And Jess, people can download the book for free. And the meditations begin on page 537. And there are also additional prayers to Our Lady of Sorrows. Jesse, just a quick note. Father Ron Tangen, 40 years ago, who had a major conversion because he read The Glories of Mary by St. Alphonsus, he ended up starting Our Lady of Victory Missions, who started printing hundreds of thousands of copies of St. Alphonsus' books. So if you can find him on the line, get anything by St. Alphonsus Liguori. And I know some people are going to say, oh, that was pre-Vatican II. You know what I tell people? You can tell them the same thing. The Bible they're reading is pre-Vatican II, too. So don't give me that baloney. All right, Jess, I'm done.
Terry, one of the things that people are going to listen to in this program is that we hold to the perennial teachings
of
the church.
Absolutely.
We don't hold to what's called novelty.
Nope.
Or like, you know, modernist, modernist experimentation, or what's called theological speculation, you know, liberation, modernism. No, we hold to what the Church of St. Vincent de Lorraine says.
That's
we
right.
teach on this program is what the Church has believed always, everywhere,
yep.
and for every Catholic.
That's it.
That's what you'll hear on Virgin Most Powerful. Nothing. It's not our. It's not. It's
not our
the
opinion.
Deposit of faith.
Nope.
This is the Church of Jesus Christ, and we're just called to be custodians. Lawful custodians, not only custodians, sorry, but faithful custodians of the deposit of faith.
And folks, I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful. We're going into another orbit right now with Bishop Joseph Strickland's premier show starting next Tuesday at noon. It follows the Terry and Jesse show, but over 100 new Catholic stations are picking us up. Thank you for doing that. If you want to become a monthly donor, we had a little low last month. We need to pick up some more donors. Call us at 877-526-215. When you get a lot of good material each month, even only at $25 or more a month. Jess Romero, what state should we be living in, brother?
Let's live in a state of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. If you like what you hear, like us.
Mm-hmm.
Hit the subscribe button and share this show with others. And remember, you know, if the elephant and the donkey sometimes let you down, especially the donkey will let you down, turn to the Lamb.
Exactly.
Very
well said. Up next, Matt Arnold's show. You won't want to miss it. If you can't get it on your station, then just go and download our free app, virginmostpowerfulradio.org, and type in that, and you'll get it. May God richly bless you, and thanks again for all your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God has been good to us, and he's been good to you. God love you, and I hope and pray as you listen to this show that you will fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. God love you. Full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.